If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey guys, welcome to this Quick Take episode. We're so excited to have you here with us. In the past, these Quick Take episodes actually were only available to those who financially supported the show through Apple subscriptions and Patreon.
But due to popular demand, we have decided to shake up the perks for our supporters and will be releasing these Quick Takes on Saturdays to everyone, giving you all some extra free content that was previously unavailable to the public.
And these Quick Takes are a little more laid back, and they're hosted by just one of us. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this Quick Take episode.
Shazam!
Boom!
Hey guys, time for another Quick Take episode here with Paul. I wanted to start off by saying thank you so much to all of you out there for helping support the show. We really could not make it without supporters like you, and we really do appreciate that you've chosen to help support the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast. All right, what I wanted to talk about here today is an old model of gaming that doesn't really exist anymore, and a lot of our younger listeners might even be kind of surprised to hear about this, but I wanted to talk about old shareware games. Now, back when my family purchased our first computer, I was in third grade, and we didn't really do any gaming for the first couple of years. Mostly it was used for the WordPerfect processor, and our computer did not even have Windows on it. It was mostly just like utility function. But eventually, we did start to buy a couple of games for the computer, and one of my favorite things to do, so this would have been back in, oh goodness, I don't know, like 1994, I used to go with my mom when she would go grocery shopping, and right next door to our grocery store was a computer store that sold mostly software, but they did also sell some hardware. And I loved to just walk over. My mom would let me, as soon as she got in line for paying for groceries, I was able to walk over and take a look at the games. Well, one of the things that was really common back then is that there were games that were called shareware, where basically you were allowed to share them with other people. And sometimes it was like freeware, where it was totally free. You were okay to share it with anybody. Sometimes there were models where you could play a game for free and it was just like a demo, but then you could purchase the full version. I think people were still trying to figure out the best ways to advertise their games, and nobody really knew what way was going to come out on top back then. But I remember they had a giant rack that was labeled shareware, and it was all the old school 3.5-inch floppy disks, and they would have games on them. They were not inside boxes. They had the most simplistic label, basically like if you were to print your own labels at home, slap it on the disk. And they had just the titles of the name on the front. You didn't really know what the games were. You kind of just like saw a title, and if you thought it sounded interesting, then you could get it for a dollar. And that was more or less kind of like the deposit of, you know, you could bring the disc back, but it was basically a dollar to take home. And then you're able to play through a lot of these games. Well, I remember one of my earliest experiences with games like this were the Hugo and Penelope games. I don't know how many they made in whole, and I know that I've mentioned this like one or two times on the podcast, but the first one I believe is called Hugo's House of Horrors. And these are the old school games that are kind of like point and click adventures, except back then you would, you know, control your character where to walk, and you would have to type in commands, and the game had to recognize, you know, close enough to certain commands, and then they could do it. So, for example, in the beginning, you're not able to open the door of the house because the door is locked. So you have to find the key, and the key is inside a pumpkin that is sitting next to the door. So you can type different commands like break pumpkin or open pumpkin, and then it tells you there's a key. You can pick up the key, type use key in door, and then you can get inside the house. And so these are like kind of similar to the Monkey Island games, except they're even older and more rudimentary. And I remember being so excited when I walked over one day and found Hugo and Penelope 3, which I had no idea existed. It takes place out in the jungle. I remember you get like tranquilizer darts and you shoot elephants and you gotta do all kinds of stuff to change the water level so that way you can walk across these empty riverbeds. And I remember there being like a witch doctor and all kinds of stuff. And I remember being so excited. And back then, you know, I being just a young kid, it's not like I really had any money. My allowance at the time was, I don't know, maybe at the most $5 a week. I mean, this is, you know, back in the early to mid 90s. And so being able to get these games for just a dollar and be able to take them home and play them, you know, this is before you could really share software over the internet. That wasn't really a thing yet because you had dial up and even just pictures took so long to load, let alone actual games. But I do remember every once in a while saving up, having that money, being able to buy like a nicer game. I remember buying NBA Live 94. I think it's actually just called NBA Live. I think it was the first one, but I remember buying that from the same store. But every week that we'd go grocery shopping, I would just grab one based on a random title, take it home, and you just kind of hoped that it would be fun and that it wasn't a waste of a dollar. And I remember also sharing that with my friends that had computers, because back then, I think like half of my friends had PCs, but the other half didn't. And so if you ever discovered that really fun game, then you would definitely run and tell all of your buddies and share it with them. I think the original Duke Nukem was also like that. Commander Keen was another very popular series. I think for Commander Keen, they actually made like a good eight or nine of them. They made a whole bunch in that series where you were a dude on a pogo stick and you just kind of hopped around everywhere fighting aliens. And the games back then were pretty wild. It was just kind of random. But that's just what we had to work with. So anyway, shareware games don't really exist anymore, but if you were a gamer back in the 90s, that's probably a phrase you haven't thought about in a long time and just thought it would be fun to reminisce a little bit. All right, well, that's it for today's quick take. We'll see you guys for the next episode. Happy gaming.